May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you have a fear story? Many of us do. Until real recently, I've carried a generalized fear of the unknown all of my life, as far back as I can remember. Now, there might be good and righteous reasons for such a fear when it first developed. Psychologists say fear is a vital response to physical and emotional danger, that if we don't feel it, we couldn't protect ourselves from legitimate threats. But sometimes fears of our everyday lives can and will keep us from moving forward. They keep us from taking a risk. They keep us from living the abundant life that Jesus came and promised to give us. So to fears that saddle us and keep us from living life well, living shalom, Jesus himself says, do not be afraid. Just trust me. We've heard two great stories of fear this morning, and our Lord's tendency to be attentive to the desperate needs of those who trust him. Our Lord is attentive to the desperate needs of those who trust him. First, the synagogue leader, Jairus, pleads with Jesus to heal his little daughter who's dying at home. We can imagine Jairus' fear of his daughter's impending death. And we can imagine that his fear was mighty and completely overtook his fear of approaching Jesus for help. Because considering the negative reaction that Jesus had already received from the Pharisees and the religious authorities earlier, Jairus might have been a little bit hesitant to approach Jesus. While the other religious figures are trying to figure out who Jesus is and where he's gotten his authority from, Jairus doesn't care. Just wants his child. Anyone who's lost a child, anyone who's been close to losing a child, knows the grip of fear that Jairus was in. There was an anxiety and an urgency that Jairus was carrying. And into this scene, as Jesus is preparing to follow him home, steps an unnamed woman. A woman who has suffered a menstrual flow for an excruciatingly long time. 12 years. And her story would be bad enough in our time, but it was even worse in the context of this story. Because you see, according to the law in Leviticus, this woman was unclean. And anywhere she sat or lay or anybody who touched her was unclean. She was an outsider, excluded from the community of God's chosen people. Imagine her humiliation, the anguish, the loneliness, the multiple periods of disappointment this woman went through as she endured this disease. Imagine how all the money that she spent and how she came out worse off than before. And nevertheless, her faith pushes through her fear. She knows she's an untouchable, so she goes for just a spot on Jesus' clothes. She's afraid of causing a horrible scene. She suspects that the rabbi maybe won't even make himself unclean by touching her, so she just touches his robe. She knows he's got the power. He has the healing power. And for just a little bit, her fear is pushed aside. Both of these stories are stories of fear and healing And although we can spend time studying the healing aspect of the stories and exactly what healing means in the context of sickness and or death, we can't overlook the place of fear in the lives of Jairus and the unnamed woman. We can't overlook their fears because today, in our world, fear is our taskmaster. Turn on the TV or the radio, or open your web browser, check your Facebook feed. In 2010, sociologist Barry Glassner published a bestseller called The Culture of Fear, Why Americans Are Afraid of the Wrong Things. Some of you might have even read it. The New York Times has described Glassner as a master at the art of dissecting research, someone who looks at the real picture, the science behind the numbers. I told the early morning services that in my former life I was a biochemist, and I had a boss who was a PhD MD who told me he could make numbers say anything he wanted them to say, and I've seen him do it. So this Glassner knows how to look at numbers and how to tell fact from fiction. This skill and this ability birthed a number of articles and even birthed this book, and his evaluations led him to conclude that it is our perceptions of danger rather than the level of actual risks in our environments. That's why he says we're afraid of the wrong things. He says that our perceptions are what is driving our fears. He describes categorically the high cost to living in a fear-ridden society. Fear of crime and of drugs, of minorities, of plane crashes and road rage, for example. Many of us, I'm included in this, are truly fearful of growing older with health concerns, financial concerns, little or no adequate retirement. You get the picture. And then there's the final fear of death. My brothers and sisters in Christ, these fears are real because if we perceive them as real, they are real. And they damage our bodies with hypertension and obesity and diabetes type 2 and all a host of other health concerns. They damage our minds with a lack of peace and joy. Our minds are full of anxieties. Paul told the Romans that the kingdom of God, God's government, was not in food and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're robbed of our peace and our joy, and forget that we are righteous in Christ. Our minds are damaged. Our souls are damaged. Because our fears prevent us from experiencing the truth. The truth of the matter is that when you are baptized into the body of Christ, you are one with the Holy Trinity. It does not matter whether you feel like it or not. It doesn't matter whether you feel holy, happy, sad. God is bigger than all of our feelings. We are one in the Trinity. We live in the body of Christ, and we are free to choose to live in fear or in faith. We are free to choose to stand still or to move forward. Now, we can't live a faith that assents with the mind only. After this sermon, we're going to get up and we're going to talk about how much we believe in God, creator of heaven and earth. But then if we live in fear that God won't supply my every need like a good father, what do I really believe? In the letter to the Hebrews, we read that, this verse, faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and that without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who seek God. I used to be a palliative care chaplain in the hospital, and I was often in ICU and CCU and all the neurocritical care, all the critical care units, and I would often hear families say, "We have faith. We have faith that this is going to change." I want you to understand something, brothers and sisters. Our faith is not in a circumstance. Our faith is in a person. Is that right, Sam? I told you I was going to call it. You can say yes. Sam, wake up. Our faith is in a person, right? Our faith is in the person of Jesus. It's not in a circumstance or a situation. We trust him. Jairus and the unnamed woman were able to behave fearlessly because they trusted him. They trusted the power that was in him. Each one of us is imbued with the Holy Spirit from on high. Now, this is the gift we've received from God as a consequence of Jesus' loving self-sacrifice on the cross. Here's the deal. Whether we feel like it or not, we are one with God. By the power of Jesus' blood, Jesus has made us one with God and with each other. We live for him, and his life lives within us. The Word of God says so. We either trust the Word of God or we don't. Fear is a necessary part of our lives, and it has its place. But all of us have a place in us where we can connect with God alone. It is this experience, this connection, that frees us from wallowing in the gutter of fear. We might fall in the gutter, but we won't stay there, because staying there is not a part of our inheritance. We're members of Christ's family, and that's no joke. And that's not just words. God holds that as truth. We must learn to guard our hearts. Our family members, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, colleagues, even some of our church members, everybody has their own fears and their own scenarios of doom and gloom. So we can choose to allow their seeds of fear to mushroom into a giant tree in our lives, or we can choose to stop. And breathe. And hear Jesus saying, "Do not be afraid. Just trust me." And know that he means it. Amen.